May 13, 2020, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Marad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for the first hour, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. And from 8 to 9, our beloved sister Michelle Muhammad will be coming. Her subject will be gifts. This is the holy month of Ramadan. We are narrowing down the last 10 days where we begin the Taweeh prayers. And I'm asking all the believers to pray for those that's in the hospitals, whether they have the virus or whatever their condition is. Let's make prayer for them that they will have a speedy recovery and return back home to their family. So we will open with a dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Ramadan session, topic, man and the universe as mates created for each other. Its timeless relevancy. Lecturer, Imam Warfuddin Muhammad. Dear beloved Muslims, believers, peace be unto you. Ramadan Mubarak. We thank Allah for this month of Ramadan, the month of fasting, a month in which there are many blessings according to the word of God. In the Quran, we thank him for our presence today and for our life and health. And we pray that he always is with us. Guide us and grant us mercy. It is important to know and remember that the first word of communication to our prophet was read, Iqra. Read in the name of your Lord, who created. Praise be to Allah, highly glorified is he, the creator of everything. And in the words of the Quran, he is Al-Kali Kulishay. So whatever man creates is the creation of God also. That is, what of lasting value comes from God's creation. God's creation is the universe and everything contained in it, including man. The great and the most high creator created man as a thinker for man to engage creation. The study of man's development as a thinker or a philosopher or a scientist on the one hand, and as a human community on the other hand, presents an interaction showing the two concerns working together as mates to address the relevancy of a timeless nature in the history of community development for civilized societies. Allah Most High says that He created for man mates of the same nature in one reference, that is, and Allah highly glorified, he says, also that man's female counterpart is man's tilth. Tilth is an area to be cultivated or an area under cultivation. In another Quranic reference, Allah, the creator, says, the size of the garden created for man to engage his heart and with his intelligence is as the size or the expanse of the skies and the earth, the universe, everything. Relevancy, many critics of religion, and especially scripture, Bible, and the Quran, they say that the thing that people build their life on in religion and what was revealed to what came to them through their prophets who received revelation has little or no relevancy now in this modern time or in the world. Relevancy means important meaning. The relevancy for man in times past, present, and in the future is understood by recalling how progress for the nation are recorded in the history and explained as a result of the resourceful earth and universe engaged by human hearts and human brains. This is what we learn from history of man and his role in the universe or in the material world. In commenting on relevancy regarding the command, read, firstly, reflecting on the treasures of knowledge recorded in history as the accomplishments of civilizations. Those treasures were found in some form already existing, whether in the earth or in the study of the skies or the stars. Allah says, through his servant and messenger Muhammad, upon him be the peace, read in the name of your Lord who created. Obviously, our prophet Muhammad understood the connection for human hearts and intelligence when God introduced himself as the creator in his first communication to Muhammad. Human society, whether a small number of neighbors or landowners coming together upon common interests, or town folks or city dwellers, most important of the bonds holding individuals together is a common bond of shared space on the land. The land is a creation of God, and the people are a creation of God. And God made land for the people and made the people for the land. The more the people engage land, the better their condition, the more developed will be the land. Moreover, the land will be providing its fruits or its produce, serving man's needs, often for more than one generation. So what a beautiful parable given in Scripture comparing the relationship of husband to wife to the relationship of a developer and the earth or the land. We praise Allah and thank him for his most valuable gifts, the gift of ideal human type for us to emulate Muhammad, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and for the marvelous system of matter, commonly referred to as the universe. So we pray he will always follow the words of God and the leadership example of his servant and messenger, the last prophet Muhammad. Our Lord, give us in this world good and in the destiny good, and save us from the punishment of the fires of our wild passions. Praise be to God, the Lord sustainer of all the worlds, and we salute his servant and messenger Muhammad with the traditional salute, the prayers and the peace be upon him, and what follows of that traditional salute. Praise be to Allah, and highly glorified is he. We say in the Quran that he took his servant and messenger, Muhammad, on the night visit up into the sky to furthest masjid al-Aqsa, dear beloved gathering here, or a congregation of believers, as it is recorded soon after this marvelous event in the life of our prophet. He answered the invitation from the people of Medina to come from the strange situation he was in, and his followers, the strain on his mission caused by disgruntled Meccans, even amongst his own relatives, two of his uncles. He went to Medina, where a warm reception was awaiting him. So this event designated the beginning of a new calendar, a new series of events, a new history. Soon, a community fulfilling the need of people belonging to a cohesive society took shape and formed. Education, the lifeblood, and Salat, the life, were established as the core concerns or nucleus for being other concerns necessary. For the complete design or picture of an Islamic society, the persecuted plan for Islamic community life on this planet was given a situation for its revitalization. Whatever is desired to be accomplished first needs the right situation. So if you want to drive a car to see a neighbor at a distance away, first, there must be the right situation. There must be a car drivable and a person qualified to drive. A man wanting to board up something needs the right situation. There has to be things on hand. He is not comfortable to go to work until the site is ready. The tools are with him. And he is clear as to what to do. So this is said to make what was given in the first part of the khutbah or lecture more understandable. Praise be to Allah, the creator of everything. The potent and pregnant term, read, for spiritual understanding when connected with the expression, the creator. And hence further, connecting to creator, creation, is what situated our prophet heart and mind to understand his calling, what he was to do, his mission, what it would be all about. Our most important concern, family survival and progress, children, education, and their future, community survival and progress, institutions and industry. So the wicked dispute nature with their brains, life progress. Firstly, God guidance is to be relied upon for us to have the right situation, to have development for our own souls, for our community, to have education, to have our future prepared for the next generation. For our children, we need the right situation. If we rely upon Allah, the guidance to be relied upon on us to have the right situation, to have development for our own souls, for our community to have education, to have our future prepared for the next generation. For our children, we need the right situation. If we rely upon Allah, on the guidance that we are giving in the Quran, and on the model person for us to emulate Muhammad, the prophet, the prayers, and the peace be upon him, we will have the right situation. Dua, our Lord, you are surely gathering all humanity for a day in which there will be no doubt. Our Lord, do not have our hearts turned back after you have guided us aright, and give us from your presence mercy. Surely, you are the grantor. Ameen. Iqamah, the call for the standing in prayer. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the prayers and the thanks is for God. We thank him for the gifts and the blessings of modern human person Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of God, and what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophets mentioned in the Bible as it is given in the Quran. Now, you are not familiar with this, I don't think. But the descendants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, some of my brothers, some of my sisters, nephews, nieces, great nephews, and great nieces, they have gotten together and formed a wonderful project to commemorate the works, the contributions to us and to society, to the world, from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They are really a beautiful group. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad and my mother, Clara Muhammad, were blessed with some beautiful, bright, and educated professional grandchildren, as well as children. I don't want to leave us out. I just wanted you to be aware of this because it is going to really be wonderful and really great. In fact, they are meeting today, tomorrow, Sunday, this weekend here in the Chicago area. We pray that Allah bless their efforts, and I'm sure they are going to get a lot of support for the commemorative center that would have the works of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in his contributions. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. I know a lot of you care about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his works. Yes, we care a lot about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his works. And we care a lot about the family of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And I thank Allah that we are blessed to have some very bright professional youngsters in the family amongst the descendants of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Thank you. I just wanted to bring that to your attention. We are nearly ready now. And please, Brother David, see me at the meeting. We have an appointment, brother. Hold it. So Brother David, he has never done this. But some people run up to me and they want the people to think they have given me something extremely valuable. And some of them want you to think they are giving me money. They run up to me and give me something. And most of the time, when I get home, I can't even read it. But I can't blame them. All of these good-looking brothers and sisters are out here, and they want them to know that they are here too. So about 3 years ago almost now, I noticed how the crowd was growing for the yearly annual Ramadan session. And I said, I believe in our heart, the month of Ramadan, these sessions are replacing the old annual Nation of Islam Saviors Day that we used to come to. Our spirit was for that every year. All of us were in the spirit to come to Chicago to hear the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and to meet one another once a year for Saviors Day. I think the Ramadan session is kind of replacing that. I believe it is going to grow as big as Saviors Day used to be. It is growing fast, so we are going to have to find a larger place. I promise you the next Ramadan session, inshallah. I say that because we never know what is going to happen to me or to anybody, but I feel now like I got most of my life ahead of me. But that's the spirit, you know. So inshallah, we will definitely get away from this situation. We won't have it like this. We'll find a bigger place. We'll have a place to accommodate everybody, because I don't like you inconvenience like this, standing and others sitting. I don't like that. I promise you next year it won't be this way. You'll have a place to sit. This is when we like the press to come in and report. They like to report when we have empty seats. But inshallah, we will remedy it some kind of way. Even if we have chairs there, it's not a place for chairs. So So we are going to have to get a larger place. The community of human beings. The Juma Khutbah today, the two-part lecture, was on the relationship that man has to the universe. But man here is plural. It means the community of human beings, descendants of Adam, the first father, Adam, and its relevancy. It's important for us now, past, present, but most importantly, it's important for us to now, to know, pardon me, in this time that we are living in, this crowded world that we are living in. We believe in the timeless nature of revelation, the Quran, or revealed words from God. And what was revealed before it is timeless. So that is, it fits into all times. So judgment day is continuous. The essential nature and essence of human life created by God does not change its nature. Its nature does not change. So those who survive with their original nature, they can be revived if they are slumbering or sleepy and negligent or whatever by God's word if presented to them correctly. Even if they are dead, they can resurrect it. The word of God is presented to them correctly. Now you say, well, if they are dead, that's on judgment day. We believe that judgment day is continuous. This is Islamic beliefs. There will be a final standing or day. There will be a final standing or day of judgment. So we believe that judgment day is continuous. This is Islamic beliefs. There will be a final standing. There will be a final standing if presented to them correctly. Even if they are dead, they will be resurrected if the word of God is presented to them correctly. Now you say, well, if they are dead, that's on judgment day. We believe that judgment day is continuous. So this is Islamic beliefs. There will be a final standing or day of judgment, but judgment is all the time. And the resurrection is not as important for the individual who lives and dies as it is for the community life that lives and dies. So we should understand that Muhammad the prophet, who received the Quran, became the leader of a new community, an international community now of over 1.25 billion on this earth. The nations. To communities all over the planet Earth who were sleeping or mentally dead, but they were awakened to life by the Quran and the teachings, leadership, and example of Muhammad the prophet. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. We witness God as one and cares about all of his creation, especially his human creation, and the model human life that is exemplified in the life and history of Muhammad the prophet. Upon him be the prayers and the peace. So this session, the first day of this session, we will be discussing revealed scripture, the cultivation of the human soul, its education, and the right perception of human identity. The first identity for humans is the identity, given by God. If we understand the Quran and also the Bible, on the genesis of man, how we can come to exist as humanity and civilized societies, how we come to exist on this planet Earth. If we understand it, we understand that the first identity for humans is the identity given by God, not what is given from Darwin about us descending from apes or monkeys. It is the identity that God revealed of us. And we believe that this identity was conceived in paradise and then later formed in the earth. So the Prophet Muhammad, upon him be the prayers and the peace, is a model of human excellence for all believers to emulate. And these believers, including more than Muslims, God says in the Quran that he is an excellent model for any who believe in God in the last day, and believe that they have to account before God, believe that they should be accountable to their creator, God. Any who believe that, Muhammad is an excellent model for them. So the prophets are to be seen as single and plural figures. In the Quran, as also in previous scriptures, Adam, Abraham, Jesus Christ, and other prophetic figures or prophets, servants of God, are to be seen as singular, but also as plural figures. That means they do not only represent themselves individually, but what is more important for us students. I say us students because I'm always a student. The Prophet said education, to get knowledge, is an obligation on Muslims from the cradle to the grave. And that is the spirit of most of us. Our spirit is to continue to seek the word of God and to seek understanding. That's our spirit. And no matter how old we get on the calendar, it doesn't change. That spirit stays young. So each of these great prophets, and I did not name all of them, I just named a few of them, the main ones. I did not mention Moses, but all of those prophets. They are special types of what God wants to become ourselves. So we should have the character. Our character should be growing more like the character of Muhammad, the prophet. Our choices that we make in life should be guided by the principles that Muhammad the prophet stood upon. So our choices, we will be good. Well, we'll be right. We'll be the best choice. So we should follow him. And his excellence, generally speaking, he also was an excellent husband to his wife. The more we know about him as a person in history, Islamic history, firstly, the more we can benefit from the excellent model of human life that God has shown us in the Quran. So Muhammad is what we are created to be in our human excellence. So I could say to you, and be corrected, that when you look at Muhammad's human excellence, you're looking at what you were created to be yourself. So you are looking at what you are created to be. God is not pointing us to something that is not our own life. He wants to show what is each and individual life, as that life was planned, God the Creator. So God says in the second chapter of the Quran, verse 150, quote, So from whichever thou startest forth, turn thy face in the direction of the sacred mosque. And whithersoever you are, turn your face thither. It means turn your face in that direction towards what has been mentioned the sacred mosque, that there be no grounds of dispute against you amongst the people of the book, except from them that are bent on wickedness. That means they are just obsessed with doing those bad things. They are fixed there. They can't get out of it. They are determined to keep up their wicked ways, bent on wickedness. So fear them not, but fear me. That God's speaking, so fear them not, that I may complete my favor on you, and you may be guided. And you know, in the beginning of the Quran, after Al-Fatiha, when you are reading the Quran, God is telling us of the book, Hudan ila Muttaqin. It is guidance for the pious, for those who reverence God and what He has established to be reverence. Hudan ila Muttaqin. A similar verse I'll give you now, addressing what we are bringing forward now, is verse 151 of the same chapter, chapter 2. And God says, a similar faith we have sent amongst you. The Arabic language is fikun. Fikun. It literally means in you. And that we have sent amongst you a messenger of your own rehearsing you, or rehearsing to your own, to you our signs, and purifying you and instructing you in scripture and wisdom and a new knowledge. Turn your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Now let us go back to some of what we have recited from Quran for some comments. God says to the prophet, said to all of us after that, he says, to you, speaking to all believers, you all turn your faces toward the sacred mosque, all believers, all followers of Muhammad, all Muslims and instructed by Allah to turn our faces toward the sacred mosque. And he says, God says, that is, no matter from what place we are coming or what place we are in, He wants us to turn our face toward the sacred mosque. You know, we do that in prayer, right? It is the promise of God, from God, that if we do that, follow that, no matter where we are on this earth, He will bring us all together. God says by His will, He will bring us all together. So this is a lot of struggling in the minds of scholars and religious leaders of Islam over our lack of unity. The way to unite us is very plain and clear, no matter where we are. I'm in the United States. We're in the United States. Other leaders are in India, in Egypt, in Pakistan, in Spain, in Africa, all over the world. In the Philippines, all over the world. God says wherever we are, He will bring us together. So the sacred mosque with no roof over it. But to be brought together, we all must agree in one Qibla. It is the sacred mosque, Masjid Haram. This is no ordinary mosque. And you know it does not have a roof over it. The part that is covered by a roof is an additional added to accommodate the growing crowds that comes to make Hajj every year. But when you make the circle around the Kaaba, salute the corners with the black stone in it, or wave to it and greet it, if you can't go there, actually touch it and kiss it, as Muhammad the Prophet did. At least you are supposed to wave to it. You are supposed to put your open palm up, facing it, which you make the Hajj pilgrimage. And then you get into the circle with the program, pilgrims, pardon me, and you start going counterclockwise towards your left side. And you make circles around the Kaaba. So this is Masjid al-Haram. That is the sacred mosque with no roof over it. You say, well, what about the Kaaba, the house? It has a roof over it. That is not the sacred mosque. That open ground that we walk on around the house, all of that is the Masjid Haram. So you see, Masjid comes from the word meaning to prostrate, to make sajda, like we do when we finish our prayers with our nose, foreheads, foreheads, hands, knees, toes, bent like a baby, as getting ready to crawl or something. And the mosque takes its name from the position, masjid, from sajda. So the masjid is the place of prostration, the place of sajda. It doesn't have to have any walls or anything. That is the masjid, Allah said. Al-Adu Masjidullah. The earth is Allah's masjid. That means anywhere you make salat is masjid at that time. And if you do it on a regular basis, then that spot will become the masjid without any walls, no ceilings, nothing. That spot will become the masjid. So I'm talking to my students. I'm trying to teach my students and those who do not see themselves as a student. I'm trying to teach you all of you. Now, if you have a bad spirit, that's not my fault. I did not put that in you. I wouldn't say that if I didn't want all of you to benefit. I want all of you to benefit, whether you like me or not. You don't have to like me. Dislike what I like. You can dislike me. In fact, you can spit on my picture. That's okay as long as I know you like what I like. You like Quran? You like the right understanding of the Quran? You like Muhammad? You like the right understanding of Muhammad? I love you, whether you hate me or not. I don't care. Praise be to Allah. So we are leading up to a conclusion. I visited the Palestinian quarters and saw how bad they were being treated by the Israeli government. That region at that time, and they have a worse one now. I was given an opportunity to go and visit Masjid al-Aqsa. I made prayer there. The Muslim guide showed us the direction for the Qibla there, and he said, see this name of this masjid? I said, yes, I did. He said, it is the masjid of the two Qiblas, Masjid Qibulation. So the prophet was leading his followers to turn towards Jerusalem in prayer. Allah never told the prophet to do that. But the prophet was not a person raised in any of the religions, pardon me. And he didn't accept to worship idols or to join the idol worshippers or the pagans in their way of life. So he was just like the person going on his own, not belonging to any religious order or way. And he stayed that way until God began to reveal to him a Qibla that shall please you. So he knew how important Jerusalem was in the Christians and the Jews. To the Christians and the Jews. He led his followers in prayer, and they faced that direction. Later on, here in this presentation, we call come back to that. We can come back to that. But for you now, you know that it was changed the prophet was instructed by Allah, by his creator, by our creator, to turn towards the Masjid of Al-Haram in Mecca before Islam, the same city. Though the Arabs called it Mecca, it was called Becca. Now, so we are commenting, we're commenting on this. It says, God said, and I quote, Wesi, the turning of your faith for guidance to the heaven, the skies. Now shall we turn you to a Qibla that it shall please you. So this is clearly saying that Muhammad had been turning in that direction toward Jerusalem, but it was not pleasing with it. He was not pleased with it. He didn't know what to do. And then God answered his distress situation and says, turn then your face in the direction of the sacred mosque. Whenever, wherever you are, turn your face in that direction. Then he says, the people of the book knew well that it is the truth from their Lord. Allah is not unmindful of what they do. So what is this saying? Don't just read and not think. This is saying that Christians and Jews knew and know that the better Qibla for human beings on this earth is the Qibla that is in the Masjid Haram in Mecca. At that site, a little simple cubicle house that has been reported in legends and cultural traditions, legends of the Arabs, as a house that was built by Abraham and his son Ishmael, not Isaac, peace be upon the prophet, because all of those that I mentioned are prophets. What's so valuable about this Qibla? And why do the people of the book do not acknowledge that Muhammad is turning to something that they are well aware of, and that is turning to a direction that is more important for humanity there and all over the planet Earth than the Qibla that he was turning to before, that was in Jerusalem. That one in Jerusalem, it is in its value by Jews, so much because it has the ruins there of a great kingdom that they once had. And they said that the kingdom, that kingdom, was under the prophet Solomon, the wise, the temple of Solomon is there. And during his time, they achieved great success and had a great kingdom. And people of other races, other religions, all of them were impressed with that kingdom. And many of them had a good life, non-Jews, people of different cultures, Africans and others had a good life there because of the great advance they made for civilization. So the Jews turned back there and they weep at the Weeping Wall, weeping the loss of a great kingdom, but that great kingdom was a kingdom of the Jews. And they addressed the Lord God as the Lord of Israel. So this bothered our prophet heart. It bothered our prophet heart that he is turning to a direction towards something that is not compatible with his perfect idea, human soul, character, and intelligence. God's ways is always the best. So God says that he allowed them to worship that way. He allowed that to happen. God could have stopped it. God could have stopped him before he turned that way and had others following him. God could have stopped that. But God said it was a test for his followers, to bring out the strong that would be able to stand up, the canon of the people of the book. be able to stand up, Israel, to the Jews, to their leaders, and not tremble and shake, but be strong in their position behind Muhammad the leader, Muhammad the prophet, the prayers and the peace be upon him. So God said it is to test them to see who would turn around. They said, now you are changing the direction. I thought with this, you don't even know the direction. You are not even sure which direction we should be praying in. So I'm going to join the Jews. I'll go back to the idolaters, the idol worshippers. Yes, he wanted to test them. So, you know, I noticed the strong winds that comes in spring, the month of March, introducing spring. Those winds are strong. They knock down weak stuff. They knock down rotten stuff, dead stuff. And then I noticed at the end of the season, it comes again. Not quite like March, the strong winds come again, knocking down weak stuff, dead and rotten stuff. So when the next spring comes, the life is strong. And just in case it's not strong, winds will come again in the spring, in March. That's the way of God. All of these things are signs, God says. But in the Bible and in the Quran, it says, these things are signs, but most of the people are unaware or don't pay attention, heedless. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad kissed the black stone. I heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad once say, he made Umrah. He never made Hajj. He was going to Egypt and Pakistan, so he got permission to make Umrah. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the one who was calling all white people the devil, there were some white ones in the government, leadership of the Hajj administration, Saudi Arabia, but they let him there. We have this picture, we have his picture, it's in the black stone. And he said of his making the Umrah there, when I kissed that stone, I felt like I was kissing myself. Now, what is the stone? Muhammad kissed the stone. The prophet himself, prayers and the peace be upon him, he kissed the stone. And one of the caliphs said, if I had not seen him or knew he kissed that stone, I would have never kissed it. And I'm sure the caliph didn't have the insight. Or who are you to say that caliph, the companions of the prophet, didn't have insight? Understand that he had no knowledge just a few years before he saw Prophet Muhammad kiss that black stone. That caliph had no knowledge. They had to be educated in the scripture and in religion that they had no history for and had no light in. So they were actually ignorant of what the Christians knew and ignorant of what the Jews knew. Those Arabs that worship idols were ignorant of that, even though this caliph would never worship idols either. He was like Prophet Muhammad. There was a few people in that time did not go for that ignorance. They just did not have a religion. So Hanifa, they called Hanifa from Hanif. And Abraham is called the Hanif. Ibrahim or Abraham the Hanif. And the Arabic-speaking people approve of the translation that Hanif means upright in his human nature. That simply means that those people who were companions, associated with each other, because they had like minds and like spirits, like characters, and like similar values and principles. Their belief was that a human should live out the best of his life, and he should build upon the best of his life. He should never follow weakness in something that brings down his life. He should only follow strength and that which makes his life more excellent. And it is said by God in the Quran that this was the nature and the position of Abraham, Ibrahim, the Hanif, Hanifat, the upright in his nature. So commenting the comments on this, the people of the book then are refusing to acknowledge something that is great. But though it is not acknowledged by them that Muhammad's Qibla is the best Qibla for all people, in their churches, in their synagogues, in their religion, it has been acknowledged by them in their search for the ideal society, how to establish the best government for the people. I believe France was first to think, what is the best form of government for us to have, for all people, to have progress and much less problems than we have with those other forms of government. So we have experienced and her thinking, their philosophers arrived at the idea of collective rule, collective authority, that we now call the commonly referred to as democracy. The identity is human. Our democracy in the United States comes to birth upon the perception of the human being as a creation with rights that you can't take away from him. You can't violate these rights of the human being, the human person. And that these rights belong to each human person that will be accepted in the citizenry by virtue of their own natural composition, that they have these rights simply because they are human. The identity is human. So if the identity is human, then they are entitled to these rights by virtue of their own identity and composition, not made by man, not made by government, but inherit in the very flesh of every person. So this is the position that these great philosophers took. And we have this idea of holding our political concepts together for this nation as what holds the concept together, the belief in the inalienable right of the individual human person. Once you accept to be a citizen here, you have that recognition, and those rights are not to be taken from you or violated. And no government, nobody can take those rights from any individual human person. So we inherit the spirit for human community. So our government, France and other Western governments that have that as an adhesive, holding their ideology together, those governments have come to the Qibla of the Muslims. That is exactly what we believe. And I'm sure that they had the good intelligence and the heart and the nature, those who put together the idea for us for generations to come, I'm sure they also understood that this applies also to the collective body of people, is more important as a possession of the human community than it is as a possession of the human individual. So what is inherent in the community spirit? The spirit for human community. We are not just inheriting properties that are to be established as the properties of individual human life. No, We are inheriting an urge, a spirit, a direction in our life, stream, our life flows that will connect us with others who have the same. And the purpose, if it is for us, to form a social community, a community of people. And that is why God says, in the Quran, highly glorified is he, that the creatures that go about in this earth, they have communities like yours. It is in the Quran. And you have read it, many of you. That is to tell us that it is not only a description of human life. This is a description of life, period. So you don't have to stretch your imagination too much to agree with those who say that even plant life exists in communities. Grass wants to be with grass. It so happens that way. Trees with trees. That is the forest, isn't it? Community life, if you don't have the right Qibla and your life hasn't been interrupted and confused by the world that rejects the rule Qibla, the real Qibla, pardon me, or in ignorance of the real Qibla, you will be unconscious in your own nature. It will be unconscious in your own makeup to come to that idea of that belief. At recognition that I am human and I should mate with other humans. If black is not human and you are black, the human shouldn't mate with the non-human. No. Humans is first, not Africa, not Europe, not white or black, yellow or red. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirage Speaks, for allowing us to come before you. We're asking that you will pray for all the people that's in these hospitals, that God will bless them to heal and lift this pandemic so that they can get back to the human life, the natural life, to take care of their families and to run this government the way it should be ran. Thank you. And we will continue this tomorrow, inshallah. It only means that it please God. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.
Is New Africa Excellence Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speak. I am Sister Michelle, and this is Cook Love, Live Healthy, where we do offer you a wealth of information in reference to cooking healthy, loving healthy, and living healthy. I'd like to thank you all for continuing listening to our show, and I do thank my co-host Elihu Bey for his message this evening in reference to the tafsirs of the Awab bin Muhammad, as well as the commentary of the Holy Quran. Tonight, according to our regular programming, here on Cooking Healthy, Loving Healthy, and Living Healthy, which are all subjects in themselves, you know that on a regular program, we do speak in reference to the digestive system and how everything affects the digestive system, our health, our mental self, our physical self, and our spiritual self. And this last 2 months or so, we have actually been going according to the quarantine and this COVID-19, giving you as much information as possible, even information to cope. We have been giving you information that would allow you to cope with stress. There are many emotions and many things that we are faced with in this society today. And as I stated before in our past, and I'm going to review tonight on a more spiritual level, we are going to go more into living healthy. And therefore, we have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to the time. We have to pay attention to what is going on. And we have to, and actually we have been forced to look within ourselves. We have been forced to bond with our families, where you had many that, of course, our regular schedules and coming home and sitting with the family. And now we have actually been forced to bond and to see what exactly are you made of. It's now or never. Many have, I was speaking to my friends, and, you know, I wanted to correspond and just listen to a few people as far as what did they exactly learn from this quarantine. What was not so much as the negative side of the quarantine, but what exactly was the positive side of the quarantine? And most of us, of course, we know it has allowed us to, has actually compelled us to look in within ourselves, become more introvert enough to see even a deeper side of who we are. A deeper side with listening to our children, listening to our mates. We have also, many had many questions, even speaking to a few people. Of course, we always check in the email for any questions, and that is an email at cooklovelivehealthy@gmail.com, where I will respond to the questions as well. You also can follow me on Twitter, which is @SisMichelle19, and then we have a hashtag of @SisterMichelle. This is a way that many of us, again, we have knowledge, and we have studied the word. We have studied the time, the revelation, the Quran, and there are so many of us who have not, and therefore, all of us, everyone, have so many questions. It's a time that if you have not, I know that many of us are fearful of the unknown. And we are seeking knowledge more than ever of what is exactly going on. And I was asked a question, well, Sister Michelle, or in this case, Michelle, do you think that it will ever be normal again? And you have to ask yourself that, okay, well, what is normal for you? And no, it will not. I cannot see it ever being life as business as usual. After such a pandemic and such a drastic shutdown, we have been in quarantine, not just here in America, but in the world. And when you have such an epidemic or such a pandemic that it affects the world, you have to know, and if you did not know, clear to you that God is God and His word is not going to come back void. And everything that you have heard over the years in reference to the word, whether it was the Torah, the Quran, the Bible, the scriptures, the Psalms, the Proverbs, whichever books that you were studying, and you need to know that we all are now faced with what exactly is going on. We're questioning that. Okay, now, the point I want to make here is that there are so many of us who are in doubt, and there were so many, and I'm keeping it very real, that were non-believers in God's word and His revelation of the time. And we knew, and I was even, the statement was made that I read it, but I didn't believe it. So in other words, many of us, this gave me the sense that many of us were actually reading these books, I guess reading the story the story tells. And now we are actually walking through the pages. And this is rather you are well-versed in these subjects, in this as a theology, regardless of whatever the theology that you may come from. And if in fact that you, if you are, as I stated before, whatever books that you are reading, the Torah, the Quran, the Bible, the scriptures, any books that you are reading in reference to the way of God, it's all is revealing itself at this time, and it is very clear. So now there are many who are, again, as I stated, the unknown. It is a fearful thing. However, you have to know, and in reading the books, don't just read and what you want to read or read the part. And this is one of the reasons that we in Islam during this month of Ramadan, which is our month of fasting from sunup to sundown, and it's a very spiritual month, which allows us to examine ourselves. And those of us who actually, it's not Islamically inclined, but we were in quarantine, and we also are forced to examine ourselves. And as I stated earlier, exactly what you are made of, this is very serious. And if you were not serious before, you are and have taken this thing serious now. And if you find many who are not, then of course that's showing you what they're made of. I want to speak tonight more on the more positive side. And I'm going to just give you a few pieces of information that I gathered. I'm giving you a few pieces of information that I gathered. And now, as I stated, I was speaking to a few of my closer friends, and many of them, as in growing up, we took God serious, and some of us did not. We took the word serious. We heard it, but we did not take it serious. And so she said to me, I didn't really think it was going to happen. And that just took me for a loop, that how many of us really looked at it as a fairy tale. And again, now we are seeing the revelation and the reality of it all manifesting itself before our very eyes. And it says that no one knew the hour or the time and even how it will come about. We were given signs to know when the end and to know what is the end. And we know that the end is also a beginning for the righteous. We have to know, be knowers today. And therefore, when we are seeking knowledge, you must seek knowledge. And I'm saying this to those who are not familiar with the verses of God and who have not been praying. And this is going for myself to the extent of praying five times a day. Praying five times a day. Even those who cut our prayers short, we pray three times or two times. You're praying always with all supplications. And it is very key. The word is not coming back void, and the promise of God is true. And we can see this very clear. It's very clear. And again, it didn't matter of your status, whether you were an entertainer, that is a social life, whether you worked hard at work all the time, the 12 and 16 hours. It didn't matter if you were corresponding on the programs. It did not matter. A commentator on the program, it didn't matter. We are all now on the same plane, same level, which is allowing you to focus on yourself and your place in this universe, and where are you going from here? How real are you with yourself? There are so many of us who are facing so many things. And again, I mentioned before in our program that there are some of us that handle stress better than others, and we are content. We have to contend with so much. And in doing so, we have to first get in our mind that life will not ever be the same and what many will call normal. And this is not to make you afraid. This is to allow you to become strong and to adjust and begin to read the Word of God enough that you will understand and allow you to understand what is going on right now in this world. It is written. And this is not just America. This is the world. And God has gotten everyone's attention. Have you not? Everyone's attention. Whether we were thinking before, we were so busy out with our sport and play, now we are forced and compelled. And actually, and I mentioned it to another close friend of mine, and these people that I'm calling friends are really truly just that, family members as well, I mentioned it to them as far as it has gotten our attention, and we began to examine ourselves. And there were so many of us who were caught up in materialistic things. We were caught up in, again, social life. And how many times a day did we even think about God and His righteousness, His will? Now, how many times a day are you thinking about God and His righteousness and His will? We were talking in reference to a free will, and now we were man, the one thing that God gave man, and that was a free will. And now even that has slighted, okay? Your free will, you're not actually going about as you will. This, as I mentioned before, kings and queens, it's a matter of talent, and we, again, must we must accept the circumstances that we are in, and we must begin to pray. And pray with all supplication. Pray enough to allow yourself to understand what's going on to it. So pray for guidance and pray for understanding. And it will come to you. And they would say, well, how do you, she said, well, how do you know that? Because I did it. And so you have to do it. You have to try it to know that it works. And then the guidance is coming. Then the understanding is coming. It's revealed to you. You have to look for it. And you have to begin to adjust your attitude, your ways. We, many of us, and I'm speaking very plain in this way, is that many of us were so accustomed, and my friends as well, we have our cleaning, our maids come in, and they cook and they clean for us, and many of us have now been forced to do it ourselves. We have been in quarantine for 70 days, 73 days to be exact, many of us. And people were finding out many things about themselves and about those that they live with, even and then their mates. Their children, many people just did not even talk anymore. It has allowed the more positive side, but it has allowed people to come closer. And they have allowed them to reach out to people that they have not spoken to in many years. It has allowed you to look inward and bring you into a survival mode, more down to earth, which is more closer to God and His righteousness in this day and time. After all the signs have been given, it's given. God is, and I was joking with my friend, God is, Allah is a just God. He's a just God. And after a pandemic, as well as the month of Ramadan, which is prescribed for us, if we are not submitting totally our will to Allah and looking for Him for guidance and reading His word and giving up our will, which we have been forced to do, Allah will be just, as management, He will be just, okay, in His judgment of us. We are in the last days, and we are in the days that have been spoken of by all the prophets, and they speak of how many generations before you have I destroyed. It is easy for Him. How many? So it's easy for Allah. How many generations before have He destroyed? So we have to begin to look. And, well, how I was speaking and I stayed in this conversation, you know, I'm speaking tonight in reference to these few conversations, and you look at when we hear about this parting of the waters and we hear about the different signs in the past, and people will sit back and wonder, well, how did that really happen? And then we hear now today in 2018 and 19, we heard of tsunamis that shifted the waters and allowed where there was water to become dry land. Excuse me, my throat is very dry at this moment. Allah, we set our fast, and I forever thank and praise Allah for his many blessings. Excuse me, please. My throat is very dry at this moment, as you can hear. And continuing our subject tonight, and that is special gifts. And let's look at the more positive side of this quarantine. And let's begin to search knowledge through God and his righteousness and through his word for answers. Let's not look for people who are confused and who are not working together, let's not look for the deceivers of this world for answers. And when I say that, we have to understand the time. And in the time, there was a deceiver and there was God and his righteousness. Okay? And let's just begin. And like I stated, there were many who did not ever pick up the Bible, maybe in 25 years, didn't pick it up. They prayed and they had faith. But actually pick it up and read the word except for one little scripture or one small scripture, and that scripture is read at the time of need, which is great, don't get me wrong. However, 25 years that you actually look at it and read the chapters and study the, and study the verses, okay, and understand the different sagas of this time period leading up of what the prophets were speaking of. That would lead up to what's going on right now today. We didn't know how it would happen, but we see it's unfolding. And therefore, you seek refuge in God, Allah. We have seen everything written in the Bible unfold. And again, as I stated, that's in the Bible, the Quran, and the Torah. And it is very clear. There's no more question. If the question is, are you total submission to the will of God and examining yourself enough to clean up that self. That is a part of what Ramadan does for us. It allows us to examine ourselves and clean up that self. If you are a believer, it speaks of the believers and the non-believers. We speak of those who are jesting when they are with you and when they are with others. They say, we were just jesting, we are really with you. It's those who speak of those who are in sport or play. Sport and play. It speaks of those who practice evil. In the Bible, it speaks of a time that we will actually be in a time of, we're putting on, in Ephesians, the sixth chapter I was reading, and it talks about putting on the whole armor of God so you will stand against the wiles of the devil. And it says that you are not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities in high places. And then it gives you what to do, to put on the armor. He's giving you the armor, the breastplate of righteousness, the spirit of the sword of truth. Gird up your loins. That means to become disciplined. I'm offering you this information. I'm speaking to those who did not hear the word, who do not know it's there. It's there. Go to the book of Ephesians. Read the book of Romans. And it's speaking of the different gifts that God is blessing us with. Look inside you and allow these gifts to flourish. And be amongst the righteous who will prevail. If you are fearful, get in line with the righteous. If you have not, God is a merciful God. Why is he saying this when we're reading the Quran over and over? When we should have been reading other scriptures over and over. And it's constantly reminding you of generations that have passed before us and replaced, who were hard-headed and stiff-necked. And now you are in a position that God is a just God. At this point in our lives of being quarantined and doing the money run down, we have to examine ourselves. And is Sister Michelle perfect and holier than thou? No, she is not. Is she wrestling with herself? Yes, she is. Am I a witness? La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Yes, I be a witness that there is no God but Allah. And Muhammad is his messenger, peace and blessings be upon him. I bear witness of all of the prophets and all of the scriptures and all of the angels. I bear witness. I am a living witness. And those of us who know, we are seeing it very clear. Those who have an ear, let them hear. And let's adjust to the change. For the good, let's not adjust and succumb to this. Let's gird up our loins. We are self-centered. Many of us are practice evil. We never even think. We bite, and gossip, and we don't even think twice about it. And now you are forced to deal with that self as well. And it's best that you hold your tongue. Read the word. It's best that you hold your tongue. That's the beginning for striving in righteousness, is to begin to hold your tongue. So let's try humbleness as a beginning of striving in righteousness. Prayer is number one. You're not doing it on your own. We have a real live deceiver here, and he is out to take all of us to hell, all of them to hell with him. He stated that he would attack them from the right side, the left, and even in the back, and even on the righteous path, the straight path. And Allah stated that all of those that will follow you, I will send you all to hell. Let's bind up the devil. And know that this is the time. And watch God move. Shift the atmosphere and watch God move. Do not become fearful. Find great joy in God and his word revealing itself and coming to pass. Find great joy. And that joy is found within you and the gifts that he has blessed you with to manifest and to survive in this day and time. This is New Africa Essence Enterprise, LLC, Mirage Speak. And I am Sister Michelle, and this is Cook, Love, Live Healthy, where we do offer you a wealth of information in reference to cooking healthy, loving healthy, and living healthy. And I'd like to thank you all for continuing listening in. And this is the subject of cooking healthy, loving healthy. We are speaking in reference to not loving healthy, but living healthy. And we, in living healthy in this day and time, is to bring yourself, number one, is many of us are in touch with our health. We are more in touch with our health and our immune system. And it makes us look at life more serious. And life, we recognize that life is very fragile, that we took a lot of things for granted. We also are recognizing that God is God, and his word will not come back void, and all that is written is manifesting itself in his time. No time or hour, no one knew the time or the hour, how it would reveal itself. However, we're getting a very clear picture at this time. And what was the signs? Looking at what was the signs, and all of the signs have the seals, and all of the signs have been revealed. And we know that this is also speaks of the book of Revelation. I'm giving you references. Let's go to the book of Revelation. We'll speak about the seven seals. Let's go to the Quran. You're going to read all throughout the entire Quran. Those who are Christian, if you're Islamically inclined or not, whoever you are, pick up the Holy Quran and read the Al-Baqarah. It's telling you of the believers and the non-believers. It's giving you instructions. It's giving you plain and clear instructions throughout the entire book of the Holy Quran. That is the first verses of the Holy Quran. And the verses are the seven oft-repeated verses in our prayers. And in English, it states, in the name of God, the beneficent, the most merciful. All praises is due to Allah, God, the beneficent, the most merciful, master of this day of judgment in which we now live. Thee alone do we serve, and thee alone do we beseech for thy aid. Guide us on the right path, or the straight path, the path of those in which we have restored, in which thou hast restored favors, not the path in which the wrath is brought down, nor of those who go astray. That's the offering of prayer. And we are chanting, we are seeking Allah's face. If we're seeking God's face, and for those who don't know, who might listen and who are from other faiths, persuading that God, Allah is God, and He is called by many names, 99 to be exact. He is the Creator. He is the Merciful. He is the Beneficent. These are all attributes, and if whichever name that you call him by, you are correct. Many of us get caught up in the names. We need to take away the labels and take away the names, and then you will find a righteous person. You should find, well, you can't take away the names because they identify, signify parts of history. However, you will find that we get too caught up in labels, and we can't even relate to each other and find God in our own selves because we're too busy trying to defend God in someone else. Did you hear it? Find God in you. And it is a wonderful thing. And it is a powerful movement. And He's as close to you as your juggler one. And let's not get caught up in gender, or let's not get caught up in you are this and I'm that. Because right now, we are all in the same boat. Look within yourself. Find out who you are. And you find out what's possible. That's one of my poems for this tomorrow. That what is possible is what's within you, what God has given you to come through this. He's a just God. And no, it's a merciful God. So many is beating yourself up now, and they're afraid, oh, I don't have time to get it together now. You know, I lived a bad life. Well, let God be the judge of that. Strive, fast, and pray. And watch God do His work. And begin yourself, fast, and pray. Pray constantly, even more so now than ever. It is no time to be weak. It is no time to grieve the spirit. Look at what are the positives. Make a list of what are the positives. Myself, of the positive things that I have brought and is bringing out of this quarantine, and we are working from home. And I thank God for all the gifts that He has blessed me with and all of the knowledge and insight that He has blessed that I've taken it and using it on the internet and for His favor. It said the first to be last and the last to be first. That's what's happening right now. Those who were, again, ambassadors and they were high, excuse me. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to stop the fast with this speaking at this time, and it's time to break fast. And as you can hear, I'm getting caught up, and I tried to drink a little water, but it just did not work. And so I thank you so much for continuing listening, man, and may Allah bless you. Bless you. May God bless you and keep you. Please seek refuge in Allah, God, and know that He is God. And just as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. Please know that this is written, and He is a just God. And just seek refuge in Him. at this time and look within yourself and bring out the best to you. You have so many talents within you, so many gifts. Many of us are drawing and writing. You are doing so many hobbies that you didn't do before. And you have actually building things. You're finding that you're great with your hands. And that's a wonderful thing. This is what we did in the beginning, that we were more down to earth before we were caught up in the social scene and this fast-paced life and caught up in many other things besides the way of God and his righteousness, okay? Many of us are eating healthier. Yes, he's bringing us right back down to earth. Is that so? So I thank you again for listening. And if you, as I said, God will be the victor. And if you did not know before, it is very clear. Now open your eyes and look at the positive side and see that righteousness and that good in you and make the difference within your family. I thank you for listening. Ramadan Mubarak, and may Allah forever bless you and keep you.